Blog Talk Radio.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine being on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine being on the everlasting arms. And secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, on the everlasting arms, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? On the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms.
Good afternoon, precious saints of the Lord. How are you doing today? Well, beautiful day today. Sunny, a little muggy, but other than that, very beautiful. The Lord affording us many opportunities to just stroll down the street, bump into people, talk about the Lord, among other things. We had a wonderful 4th of July yesterday, and just wonderful. But we're back to work. We're back to work. Eternal things, serious things. And so let's open up our Bibles to Revelation 17. As we talk about, as we continue to talk about, wilderness pollution, the marriage, if you will, the marriage. You know, Christ has a bride. He does. The church is the bride of Christ. That produces sweet celestial fellowship. But the Antichrist also has a bride of sorts. She's the great whore. And that marriage between the Antichrist and his madam, to put it kindly, produces wilderness pollution. Wilderness pollution. Revelation 17, we're going to be reading from a different translation today. We're going to be reading from the English New Living Translation, New Living Translation. Revelation 17, verses 1 through 7. Thus beginneth the reading of God's holy and precious word.
Chapter 17, The Great Prostitute. One of the seven angels who had poured out the seven bowls came over and spoke to me. Come with me, he said, and I will show you the judgment that is going to come on the great prostitute who rules over many waters. The kings of the world have committed adultery with her, and the people who belong to this world have been made drunk by the wine of her immorality. So the angel took me in the spirit into the wilderness. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that had 7 heads and 10 horns, and blasphemies against God were written all over it. The woman wore purple and scarlet clothing and beautiful jewelry made of gold and precious gems and pearls. In her hand she held a gold goblet full of obscenities and the impurities of her immorality. A mysterious name was written on her forehead, Babylon the Great, mother of all prostitutes and obscenities in the world. I could see that she was drunk, drunk with the blood of God's holy people who were witnesses for Jesus. I stared at her in complete amazement. Why are you so amazed? The angel asked. I will tell you the mystery of this woman and of the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns on which she sits.
I will tell you the mystery. I'll reveal it. Let's pray. Dear God, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you yet again. We count it a blessing, a great joy, a great privilege to be wooed, to be invited, to be given access to your table. To your table where you feed us every day. It is the table where you dispense your daily bread. Now, Lord, we pray that you would bless us, strengthen us, encourage us as we and see what pollutions are brought about by the marriage of the beast and the great prostitute. Bless us, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Holy Spirit, again, have your way with us. We yield to you always. We know who's in charge. Holy Spirit, we expect you to be in charge. We're counting on you being in charge. It is needful for us that you be in charge, because when you are, you lead us, you guide us to all truth, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Wilderness pollutions. Well, we know that the great harlot, the great madam, the great whore, the great prostitute is one half of the equation. One half. She is the supersized church of the Antichrist, the global end time ministry of the Antichrist that will have 3 powerful departments. This end time church of the Antichrist will have 3 powerful arms, if you will. First, the religious, second, the political, and then thirdly, the economic. And his prostitute church, his apostate church, will ensure that men are enslaved religiously, politically, and economically. The Antichrist will have his apostate church aiding him. That's why they're a team. And that's why they're a formidable duo, the beast, the Antichrist, and the harlot. Together with Satan and the false prophet, they will ensure that all men upon the face of the earth receive the marking of the beast. And this means that they will worship the beast, that's religion. They will be governed by the beast, that's the political. And that they can neither buy nor sell, that's the economic, without the mark of the beast. Those who fail to worship the beast will be killed. It's a force religion. They're forcing you to serve the Antichrist. But as you will see in the book of Revelation, only those who love Jesus will feel like they're being forced, and those who hate Jesus or ignore Jesus will not feel forced. They will gladly worship the beast. Now, the woman rides the beast, just like a woman at the county fair rides a horse. She's saddled on a horse. Here, the woman is saddled on the beast. And he's not a bronco beast where the gate opens and he's trying to knock the woman off his saddle. No. The beast gladly carries the woman because she carries his message. And his message is to religiously, politically, and economically enslave the entire world. So, in another place, the beast is called two other things. And that's what I want to draw your attention to, Second Thessalonians, because we're talking about pollution. 2 Thessalonians 2, and it says in verse 3, Paul writing to this wonderful church of Thessalonica, he says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." There's going to come a falling away. Before the Antichrist shows up, there's going to be a falling away. In other words, many who once claimed to serve the Lord, many who once attended church, will abandon Jesus and will abandon church attendance altogether. They will fall away. They will fall like apples falling off of a tree. Once an apple falls off of a tree, it never gets reattached. That's the falling away. There's a separation between the apple and the apple branch, the apple tree branch, and that's the falling away. So Paul says, listen, before the Antichrist shows up, before the beast shows up, before the great scarlet monster shows up, this first you're gonna witness a great departure. Many will abandon the church. Now, many of our churches are empty today, but it's not because of a falling away. There are many factors to it, but it's not the falling away yet. That's not here yet. What Paul is referring to here in verse 3, this great departure by many from the church, that has not happened yet. It will happen soon, but not yet. And just because our churches are empty, a great many of them are empty, does not mean that the falling away has happened. No, this is a radical falling away. This is a monumental falling away. This is going to be a falling away like there's never been a falling away. You will see the signs very visibly. Churches will completely empty out, and what you'll be left with is a faithful remnant who were true to the Lord all along. So, when this falling away takes place, it takes place because Satan now is going to be forming his worldwide church. So the falling away is the transferring of membership from the church of Christ to the church of Satan. And that's why it's going to be a church with global power, global political power, global religious power, global economic power. That's the kind of church that there will be in the last days. The woman, apostate church, the great whore, the great prostitute, the great madam, she will be assisting the Antichrist in corralling humanity for him, because he needs all of humanity. It's what he desires, to worship him. So let's look at the text. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin, that's the word I want you to focus on. He's a man of sin, or the phrase, man. In Greek, anthropos harmathia. Anthropos is the generic term where we get anthropology. Anthropos is man. Generic man. Antichrist will be 100% man. Satanically inspired, but all man. Anthropos, the man of sin. This word harmathia is interesting because it denotes the missing of the true mark. You know, when you shoot an arrow, when you take archery and you're taught to aim, the instructor challenges you to hit the bullseye. If you hit the bullseye, you win. If you don't hit the bullseye, you lose. Well, sin is man's attempt to hit the bullseye of God's righteousness, but he never hits it. Never does man hit the bullseye. Every time man misses the mark, that's called sin. So to sin is missing the true end of our lives, which is what? What is the chief end of man? The Westminster Shorter Catechism, the first question in the Westminster Shorter Catechism says, what is the chief end of man? The answer is the chief end of man is to worship the Lord and to enjoy him forever. That's the chief end. God made Adam and Eve for what? For fellowship. And this is why when the Lord Jesus comes back and we go to heaven, we're going to have eternal fellowship with whom? With God. That's what heaven is. Heaven is not just a place where the streets are made out of gold and a place of just impeccable crystal beauty. Heaven is a place that our minds could never imagine. It's so beautiful, so glorious. But that's not really what heaven is. Heaven is us being forever with the Lord. Heaven is not really a place. It's a fellowship. It's a state of being. So when man sins, man is saying to God, the heck with you. I don't want you. I want nothing to do with you. Because again, man's primary sin is to turn his back on God. All the other sins we talk about, all of the other things that we have that the Bible categorizes as sin, it all starts with us saying to God, the heck with you. It all starts with us saying to God, you don't matter. That's why Adam and Eve fell, because Adam and Eve said to God, you gave us these rules, and you really don't matter. We're gonna do what our heart desires. And that plunged them forever into sin. And once they sinned, what did they do? They hid themselves. To hide yourself means that fellowship is broken. Fellowship is broken because, again, the chief end of man is to know God, to allow God to be discovered and then enjoy him forever. So the Antichrist is known as the man of sin, the man who finds fellowship with God abhorrent. He's the man of sin. He wants nothing to do with our God. He can't stand God. And this is why there's going to be a falling away. Because when the falling away comes, the mass of humanity is going to say to God, we want nothing to do with you. And then they form part of Antichrist's end time church. Both he and the people who worship him hate God and want nothing to do with him. That, my brothers and sisters, is the greatest sin. The greatest sin is not murder. The greatest sin is not adultery. The greatest sin is not homosexuality. Whatever sin you want to name, the greatest of all sins is you saying to God, I don't want. That's the greatest sin. And so he is called the man of sin, the man of sin. Sin is an aberration. What do I mean by an aberration? Another word for an aberration is a deviation, a divergence, a departure from the norm. Adam and Eve, they enjoyed fellowship with God in the garden. And then one day, they departed from the norm. They took of the tree from which God told them not to eat. And that brought about what? The divergence, the deviation. They deviated from the commandment. When you sin, when you suffer this deviation, this divergence, this departure from the gospel norm, you're really departing from truth. And you are embracing the opposite of truth, which is error. And so, that's what the man of sin does. The man of sin says, embrace error. Forget what God says. The man of sin is pretty much like the serpent. He will say to everyone, really? Has God said? Really? You can trust God? You're going to believe God? In other words, he's going to say, God is the liar and I'm the one preaching the truth. He's the man of sin. He can't stand God. He hates holy God. He loves sin. That's the beast. The woman, the apostate church, she is saddled. She is riding that creature who can't stand God. He is the man of sin. He's the man who's going to call the whole world, he's going to cause the whole world to depart from the norm. That's the great falling away. But then in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, it says this about him. It says, the beast is also called, and it says, and then shall that wicked, now there you have the word wicked. It's the Greek word anomos, anomos. Anomos means no law. There's going to come a man, in the near future. And the world stage is being set for him right now. This is why there's a great movement in every country, not just in America. If you read your world headlines, in every country, they are starting to defund the police. That's lawlessness. They're starting to write laws now favor the criminal. The criminal can do whatever, and they'll just get a slap in the wrist. They won't even get arrested. You can call the police. The police will drive right up to your house. You can tell them what the criminal did, but the police will say, my hands are tied. The way the laws are written, I can't do anything to them. So notice, defund the police. In other words, there are less and less police. The ones that do work, you call them, but when they show up at your house, they tell you there's nothing we can do because the laws are such that what you claim they did, which is offensive, really isn't a crime. And so this is what we're seeing. The wicked one shall appear, the wicked one, the one who has no laws. The wicked one acknowledges no laws apply to him. No laws apply to him. I don't want to beat up on the president's son, but I need to bring it up as an example. If I or you or anyone in our families would have done what the president's son has done, you and I would be in jail. We would be in jail. But if you notice, in our country and in many countries in the world, laws apply to some people, but laws do not apply to other people. The people who are in power, the law doesn't apply to them. They get away with murder, is the proverbial statement. The wicked one is the one who says, no laws apply to me. I can do whatever I want. I can be a war criminal and never be charged. I can be involved in genocide and never suffer consequences for it. As you will see in the future, he will exterminate large numbers of people who refuse to worship him, and the world will applaud him. The world will thank him for getting rid of what they call these miscreants. The man of sin and the wicked one, both names apply to the monster upon which the woman rides. Now think on this for a moment. Think about what we said she is. She is the great whore. Abominations and filthiness is her trade. And then the man of sin says, hey, no God in your life. Exclude God. Now can you imagine what would happen to this nation right now if we were to take God out of every segment of our society? What would happen to America if we were to take God out of every little thing, erase him completely? That's what the man of sin is going to do. He's going to erase God from everything. Why? Because if God's in the picture, sin is condemned. If God is out of the picture, sin is celebrated. So that's the marriage. That's the Antichrist and his bride. And they will produce pollution. Pollution in the earth. Let me take you to Genesis. Let's go quickly to Genesis. Genesis, I want to read two scriptures to you from Genesis. Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, verse 13. Look at the scripture. But the men of Sodom were two things, wicked. What does Paul say about the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians 2:8? He's the wicked one. Now here the word wicked is lowercase w. Wicked one is capitalized. The W is capitalized. Big wickedness. Here it's little wickedness. Genesis 13:13, yeah, they were wicked, but it's little wickedness. 2 Thessalonians 2:8, that's big wickedness. And then it also says, and the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before whom? Before the Lord. What is the Antichrist? Not only is he the wicked one, but he's the man of sin. Capital S. You think the men of Sodom and Gomorrah were bad? the Antichrist is really the wicked one and really the major sinner the world would ever see, will ever see. So, turn to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. And I want to read to you from verse number 17. And it says, "And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" Verse 20. "And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now to see whether they have done all together according to the cry of it, which has come up unto me. And if not, I will know it." So here's the deal. Sin gets stacked up like garbage. If your garbage truck does not visit your neighborhood for, let's say, 6 months, where would your garbage be? You would have a mountain of garbage. And this is what God is saying about Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, "I can smell the stench of their garbage. They have not been canceling their sins because they have no blood. They're producing no sacrifice. They're not coming before the Lord. These people are extremely wicked, and their sin has become a great mountain. I will come down and deal with it." My brothers and sisters, when the Antichrist and the harlot church show up, they'll make the garbage, they'll make the stench, they'll make the abomination of Sodom and Gomorrah look like nothing. Wilderness pollution. Look at your world today and look at all the pollution. Look at all your social media and what's being promoted on there. Pollution. Pollution in our public schools. Pollution in our public libraries, pollution on TV, pollution on the radio, pollution in our churches, pollution in every segment of society. Why? Ah, the great whore, the great prostitute, and the scarlet beast are about to appear. And they will bring pollution to the earth like we've never seen before. That's why we have to be busy. At the same time, while they're promoting wilderness pollution, we must be promoting wilderness fellowship. We've got to be like Noah. The whole world around him was polluted, but Noah kept building that ark for the saving. Side by side, Noah's building the ark. That's wilderness fellowship. And the world was becoming more sinful. That was wilderness pollution. Till the day that Noah entered the ark and God poured out the rain. That's where we are. The church working to bring men and women to Christ, the Antichrist and his harlot church working to take away men and women from Christ. So let's get busy. Let's get working for the Lord. Remember, the Antichrist will be more wicked and more sinful than the men of Sodom and Gomorrah in Revelation 13:13. He is the ultimate man of sin. He is the ultimate wicked one. We haven't seen anything yet. It's going to get real, real dirty soon. the dirt that we see today in our society in every segment is only the beginning. God help our children and our grandchildren. God help us. And he will. Because we're praying. And we're believing God for great and mighty things. I'll be back tomorrow to wrap up this series. God bless you. And don't forget tonight at 6:50, we have our prayer meeting.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth for everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith,
yes, living by faith,
in Jesus above,
in Jesus above,
trusting, confiding.
Tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life. I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. Living by faith,
yes, living by faith,
in Jesus above,
in Jesus above,
trusting, confide.
I'm living by faith and feel no alarm.
I know that he safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side?
Living by faith,
yes, living by faith,
above,
in Jesus above,
trusting, confiding
in his great love,
yes, in his great love.
From all I'm safe,
from all I'm safe,
in his sheltering arm,
in his sheltering arm,
I'm living by faith,
I'm living by faith,
and feel no alarm.
Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore.
Living by faith,
yes, living by faith,
in Jesus above,
in Jesus above,
trusting, confide.
I'm living by faith and feel no alarm.